Look, up in the sky. There, it's a bright star signaling a new messiah or the end of the world, an asteroid coming to destroy us, an alien landing. How about a regular old comet? A comet that promises to be anything but regular when it becomes more visible in its chemical finery later this year. The comet Ison was found by two amateur Russian astronomers using an amateur 16-inch telescope and some sophisticated off-the-shelf computer tracking software. Comet Ison isn't the only magnificent comet that's being eagerly anticipated this year. Dr. Denton Abel is here to tell us more about what this year holds for us. He's chair of the Division of Physical Sciences at the American Museum of Natural History. And Dr. Abel, what's the official name for this comet?
C/2012. Of course, if they discover another one next week, it'll be C-2013.
You guys are real poets, I have to say.
It's like being in the military almost, isn't it? But in a way, we are. We're protecting the planet. These amateurs are doing a service to mankind
I
by
think it's great.
Finding
and
stuff.
This could be a big year for comets, and Ison, I guess, is the first one. We're not going to know how spectacular it's going to be, though, until we actually see the stuff that's trailing behind it, right?
Well, this is going to be really interesting because scientists with larger instruments, with spectroscopy, and even our space assets can now target this object and start to look at the gases that are coming off, the isotopic composition. There's a whole lot to be learned from comets, and each one seems to be different from every other one. There are different groups of them. There are different kinds of comets and their nuclei. If you go on the web and you look at the images we do have from flybys, and they're starting to accumulate, we see all kinds of morphologies of these objects. We don't really understand the physics of the stuff, what's going on with the collapsing of sinkholes. We saw the Stardust emission to Comet Vilde 2. We saw jets coming out of all sides, not just the hot side, but the cold side. What's going on here? And they seem to be episodic, and they seem to be blowing large chunks of rock off the surface, not just little tiny sesame seed-sized bits.
But the thing that really matters to people who wonder if this is going to be one of those biblical comets is really the visual qualities of it. And that, you know, is unclear. Something could be a very spectacular object from a scientific perspective but not be necessarily so visible.
That's true, and we can be disappointed. I think it was Hayakutake was, and Hale Bopp. None of these lived up to expectations. As one of the astronomers who studies comets said, they're like cats. They all have tails, but they all do what they want.
Mm. So what could this be, do you think?
Well, the first thing is it's extremely bright, even out past the orbit of Jupiter where it is now, coming in towards the sun. It'll pass within about a hundredth of an astronomical unit. That's about 1.3 million miles from the sun. Of course, we won't be able to see it very well then, but we should see this starting in August with binoculars or small telescopes, very small telescopes, and even to the naked eye in November. And the thing is, it's so bright now and steadily bright out there that it has potential to be what's called a great comet, one that everybody sees, and that's why they're great.
Is this from the so-called Oort cloud where all the other comets come from, which means it may be in some orbit that suggests it's been here before, this literal comet?
We don't think that we've seen this particular object. However, its orbital elements, it's the things we use to describe its orbit, its trajectory, if you will, is very similar to some comets from history that we have sketchy but decent information on, such as the Great Comet of 1680. And so it's maybe a fragment because comets break up. And comets come from two places, actually. The Oort cloud, which is very far away, 50,000 times the distance from the Earth to the sun, away from the sun. Mm. So these things have incredibly long orbital periods, 600 years, 90,000 years, crazy numbers that are hard to understand, sort of like deficit kind of numbers.
Yeah, right.
And
yeah.
This comet does come from the Oort cloud or from far out in that direction. But there are a whole another class of comets that come from near Jupiter, outside the orbit of Jupiter, and, of course, the Kuiper Belt, which, of course, houses Pluto and Sedna and things. So,
and the meteors, the things you really love.
Well, the meteors come mostly from the asteroid belt inside of Jupiter. There are, however, five objects within the asteroid belt that have been discovered that actually are degassing volatile elements the way that comets do. So they're classified both as asteroids and comets. So that it's a very complex picture. It's much more nuanced than we may have thought 50 years ago, before we had so many flyby missions, before we had such great observational power that we have.
So my palpable fear that something is headed directly for Earth to destroy life as we know it is not completely insane.
It's not insane. You're not insane. But you are in the hands of a civilization that is actually deeply interested in this problem.
Good.
And
glad to hear it.
The mandate has been to identify all Earth-crossing asteroids, potential killer asteroids, that are greater than a kilometer in diameter. Now we're going down the size range. Of course, the numbers go up, but the potential destructive power goes way down. As an example of the probabilities of this kind of thing, we know that Meteor Crater in Arizona, the best, most recent impact crater on the Earth, the best preserved impact crater on the Earth, is about 50,000 years old. And that's a long time. And it was made by something about 30 meters in diameter, maybe 40 meters in diameter. And it itself is only 1 kilometer in diameter. And so when you think about
that, size of a barn.
That would
basically be,
we wouldn't even notice it on the moon. But we notice it, of course, in Arizona if you were flying over it. But the point is that the probabilities are so low, and the Earth is really a small target in the cosmos.
So looking forward to this year, 2013, we've got ISON headed towards us. We've got maybe one or two other comets as well. What's your best-case scenario for a spectacular near-Earth orbit astrophysical year?
There's one coming near us in March that could be interesting. It's a much smaller comet. It's not that bright. But this thing could be phenomenal. And I've never seen a comet like that before. I saw Hale-Bopp. Great.
Kind of a smudge in the sky, I remember it.
And Hayakutake was better.
No memory of Hayakutake.
But this one has the potential. And I'm going by what my friends, the astronomers, say. I study stuff. You know, I like to look at the stuff. I'm really interested in the chemistry of the stuff that comes off this comet. But I certainly take their word that it has great promise. It might be as big as 2 miles in diameter. That's when you don't want coming anywhere near the Earth. But it's with that size, it's potentially will outshine the moon, and you'll see it in broad daylight at some point when
in
it's
March?
Near the Earth. Well, that'll be August, September, and November is really going to be prime time because then it'll get close to the sun and it'll be hard to see it against the sun's glare, and I wouldn't advise anyone to try without the proper equipment.
So an exciting year you're looking ahead.
Well, in comets, yes.
So forget Fiscal Cliff. Human race has a bright future.
I hope so. And there's a bright comet coming our way to guide us forward.
Dr. Denton Abel is chair of the Division of Physical Sciences at the American Museum of Natural History.
A lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.